40. Going down several steps into a pitch-black hole with only a flashlight took a lot more nerve than Nate thought. Every step made the circle of light shake and waver, plunging the stairs into darkness for an instant before he directed the beam again. It was a scene out of dozens of horror movies. He kept waiting for the light to reveal a skeleton, a blood stain, or an albino creature that had been locked in the sub-basement for years. Veek's grip on his shoulder kept him calm. It got tighter with each step. By the 10th, he was sure she was leaving marks. "I think we're there," he said after the 18th step. He let the flashlight trace wide circles around his feet to make sure he wasn't on a landing. It would suck to slip and break the flashlight. Or his neck. The stairs came out along a wall. The floor was metal. It looked like he was standing on the hull of a battleship. Some of the rivets were ringed with bright orange circles. All of it was covered in dust. He felt Veek step onto the floor behind him and sensed Tim a moment later. "Everyone here?"
"Yep."
"Yeah," said Tim. "Do you see a light switch? There might be one down here, too."
Nate shifted the light to the wall and found a push-button switch right where he would have reached for it. The lower button was in. The higher one was out. He pressed the higher one, and it clicked into place. 6 China hat lights blossomed across the room, hung in 2 rows of 3. The one closest to them flickered for a moment, flared, and died. The explorers blinked. A few small spots of green, the only bright color in the room, skittered away. It took a moment to resolve the dust-coated shapes around them. They spread out to look at everything. They were in a rectangular chamber a little bigger than the lounge 3 stories above them. The walls were wooden planks, shrunken and warped with age. The ceiling was steel beams and concrete. The half of the room closest to the stairs was dominated by a long table and a desk pushed up against the left-hand wall. There were overlapping carpets laid out under them, covering the steel floor. 6 chairs were pushed in around the table. A few small jars were gathered at the center of it. Tim blew the dust off them. There was a white mass in one he thought was salt, which meant the jar of black and gray particles was probably coarse pepper. Nate examined the desk. It was a large, solid piece of wood, the type of thing found in New England universities. He glanced over his shoulder at the staircase and wondered if they'd had to disassemble it to get it down into the sub-basement. An ancient blotter covered the desktop. The edges around the pigeonholes were carved to resemble scrolling vines and leaves. A brass hook, brown with age, protruded above one pigeonhole. A ring bearing a trio of keys hung from it. They all had long shafts and blocky teeth. There were a few papers in a box marked "out" and none in the box marked "in." Time had faded the ink and turned the paper to brittle sheets. A few of them had already crumbled on the edges under their own weight. A few more papers had been curled and inserted into specific pigeonholes, but most of them had cracked into fragments. There was a calendar on the wall above the desk, hung by a nail. Like the papers, it had faded, but its ink had been thicker. Nate couldn't make out the notes written on some of the days, but the calendar itself was open to November of 1898.
"I think that far wall's just under the laundry room," Tim said.
"No elevator here either," said Veek.
She was standing at another steel cage shaft a few feet from the stairs. The cables ran down into more darkness. She gave the gate a tug, but it was latched solid. She shook it, and a cloud of dust formed in the air.
"Easy," said Tim. "Kick up too much and you'll choke us all."
She snorted and snapped some pictures of the frame around the shaft with her phone. Then she dug into her pocket and pulled something out. Nate tipped his head to her.
"What you got?" "A nickel," Veek said. "Call it."
She tossed the coin through the gate into the shaft. It vanished. A moment later, they heard a faint ping, then silence.
"I think that was just it hitting the side," she said.
Tim stepped closer and held up his finger for quiet.
"It didn't hit bottom," she said.
"How can you tell if you were talking over it?" growled Tim.
"It didn't hit," she repeated. "I think it's still falling."
Nate shook his head.
"Can't be."
Tim pulled a quarter from his own pocket and silenced them both with a glare. He reached his hand through the gate and let the coin drop straight down. He He cocked his head to the shaft and closed his eyes. Nate counted 15 Mississippis before Tim opened his eyes again. There hadn't been a sound.
That's disturbing, said Veek.
Tim nodded in agreement. What are all those? Said Nate. There were three bundles leaning against the wall like sheets of canvas wrapped around long boards. Each one was fastened with what looked like a pair of thin belts.
I think they're cots, said Tim. He ran his finger along one and the canvas frayed at his touch. Old camp beds.
Veek walked past them to glance at the desk. She took pictures of the desk and the keys and the calendar, then she moved to the back half of the room. It was separated from the front half by two concrete pillars sunk into the walls, almost making it a room of its own. There were no carpets or wood plank walls in this section. The metal floor was a gong under her heels. A little further down the wall from the desk was what looked like a tool bench. Across from it was a row of lockers. Veek counted six of them. They were made of wood but looked like every set of gym lockers she'd ever seen. Her eyes followed the edge of the room and stopped at the back wall. The pattern of rivets was different there. They doubled up and traced a large rectangle on the wall. If she hadn't been this close, she never would have seen it. Inside the line of rivets was a stubby handle, maybe 6 inches long, almost lost in the dust and cobwebs coating everything. She took a step closer and saw a dark blister at the center of the rectangle. It might have been painted black, but the thick layer of dust made it hard to tell. Veek stepped to the wall. She crouched, took in a deep breath, and blew at the blister. The dust scattered and leapt into the air. A lot of it bounced back in her face. It revealed enough that she swept the rest away with her fingers.
Oh,
she coughed.
Wow.
Nate looked over at her. What's that?
Come see.
She wiped the dust from her face and raised her phone. The camera clicked. She bent to blow another puff of air at the line of rivets. Nate and Tim walked into the back half of the room.
Well, 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 said Tim.
Set in the back wall of the room was a vault door. It was tall enough for Tim to walk through without ducking his head. Veek had cleaned most of the dust from the combination dial. It was black with white numbers and lines set into a silver ring. The squat handle was made of dull steel and still draped with cobwebs. As Nate studied the door, he could see the recessed hinges along the opposite side. They'd been hidden by a century of dust. Tim crouched to examine the dial. It was reset so the zero was at the 12 o'clock position, just below the small arrow marking the position of the dial. To the left of zero were four white lines and then a 95.
100 digits, he said. A million possible combinations, assuming there's only three numbers.
Nate glanced from the dial to Tim. There could be more? He nodded.
There's different classes of combination locks depending on how the wheelhouse inside them is built. Nowadays, you've got class twos, which are your basic combination padlock or gym locker.
He glanced over his shoulder at the row of wooden lockers.
Or you've got class ones, which are the things on bank vaults, big safes, and so on. One as old as this doesn't follow the actual classifications, but the technology really hasn't changed much since Houdini was breaking out of them.
He reached out a hand and rapped his knuckles on the door. It was the dead sound of thick, solid metal.
The combination for this thing could have three digits, or four, or five, he shrugged.
Veek had turned to snap pictures of the room from the other direction.
You know what this place reminds me of?
What? Asked Nate.
A break room.
She tipped her head to the lockers.
There's a place to hang your work clothes or your non-work clothes. A place to put your tools away.
She gestured at the other half of the room with her phone.
Have lunch, maybe get a quick nap. Somewhere for the boss to sit and get caught up on stuff.
You know what gets me? Said Nate. This place is so neat. Tim smirked and puffed another cloud of dust off the combination dial. Nate shrugged.
It hasn't been used in a while, but look at it.
He gestured at the table. All the chairs are pushed in, the table's cleaned off, everything's filed away on the desk. Whoever was working here didn't leave in a rush. They took their time when they were done here.
Not like the message on your wall,
Veek said.
Right.
What are you thinking? Asked Tim.
Nate looked around the room. I'm wondering if whatever was going on here wasn't just a brief thing. What if it was going on for years? The date on the calendar is 4 years after the date on the cornerstone. He gestured at the lockers and the desk. You don't set up all this for a weekend project, probably not even for something you're going to spend a few months on. I think people were working here. All this was somebody's full-time job. They had time to clean up, and they expected to come back.
Son of a bitch, Veek tilted her head at him.
Yeah?
He glanced at her, the vault door, and then at Tim. Could that lock have 6 numbers?
Tim nodded. Class 1s can still be set to 6 digits today. It doesn't even change the mechanism that...
Shit! Do you have a picture of it?
They looked at Veek. She tapped and swooshed at the screen of her phone, then held it up.
On it was one of the images from her wall. 66, 16, 9, 4, 1, 89.
Read them off to me, said Tim.
They tried it once, but the handle refused to budge. He spun the dial a few times to reset it and started again. This time he turned in the opposite direction for each number. The dial settled on the line next to 90, and he gripped the handle again. The dull steel resisted for a moment, then swung up. They felt the vibration as bolts that had rested for decades shifted inside the door. The clang echoed through the room and made the floor tremble.
Not ominous at all, said Veek.
Tim pulled the handle. The vault door drifted forward inch by inch. The hinges groaned and sent another vibration through the floor. Nate and Veek added their weight. A foot of steel swung away from the wall before musty air spilled out from behind the door. It was warm. It smelled hot. They stepped back to look at what they'd revealed.
Well, said Nate after a moment, we should have seen that coming.